What are you looking for? What are you looking for? The gospel account of today tells us in the living word of God that Jesus turned. And we know very clearly because we know the end of the story, but we know that Andrew and John, the beloved disciple who doesn't mention himself in the gospel, but they know they were searching for the Messiah. They were with John the Baptist. And it's so amazing how simple and approachable is our God. Jesus could have given him all the answers right there. But he turned to him and he asked him, "What are you looking for?" Like the end of the story, Road to Emmaus. Remember that story in Luke? They're walking and Jesus comes and joins them. And he asks them, "Why are you downcast?" See how many times in Scripture where Jesus asks questions. He encounters souls and he asks questions. "Woman, does anybody here condemn you?" So Jesus looks at them and says, "What are you looking for?" And they responded, "Teacher," not Lord. He's not Lord yet. He's teacher. He's rabbi. "Where do you stay? Where do you hang out? Where can we find you?" We also see in the first readings, we see Samuel, right? The little child, little boy in the temple, right? Goes to Eli and says, "Eli, you know, hey, I had this thing." He goes, "Go back and go to sleep. It wasn't me." Right? And so he was searching too. And then we see this response that he gives. But he's asking questions too. So Eli's asking questions and Samuel's asking questions. And then you go on and you see, even in Corinth, St. Paul appealing to the people of Corinth. St. Paul, who himself asked questions when he had to have his conversion, when he was on the road to Damascus and he fell to the ground and a voice came, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And Saul says, "Who is it? Who am I persecuting?" And he says, "It's Jesus." So even Saul, in that encounter with Christ that was pivotal in his life, right? It dealt with questions. And the people of Corinth are like, almost, you can almost read their question into that reading, second reading. Go back over it. You can read their question into it. "Why can't we live like everybody else? Why can't we live by the flesh?" Corinth was a cesspool, morally. And they were like, "Why can't we live this way and that and that?" And St. Paul says, "Don't you know that your bodies are temples? That God dwells in you, that he's closer to you than the air that you breathe." But they're asking questions. Why? Because like Andrew and John, like all of them, they're searching. As if we're really honest, you and me, and not only us, but all humanity, they're searching. But what are we looking for? Andrew and John were looking for a Messiah. They were looking for a Savior. Not everybody on the riverbank of the Jordan was. Some were in it for their own interests. Jesus looks at you and me. Jesus turns. He's here in the tabernacle. The sanctuary light tells us. He's here in his living word. He turns and he saw us. He saw you and me come into this church. He looks at us. He knows our hearts. And he asks you and he asks me. And we're going to pause a second here. And online too. What are you looking for? Are you looking for? And what will your question be to Jesus now? Take a moment, think, what's your question for Jesus in your heart? He's looking at you. He's looking at me.
What are you looking for? What do you want to ask him?
I don't know about you in these times. I might not exactly have asked him what Andrew and John asked. Where do you stay? Maybe I would have asked him, like, why this pandemic? Why is my year of college train wreck this year, Father, and I'm doing it online? Why evil in the world? Why so much violence? Why so much hatred? What's the answer to these times? Why so much suffering? Is there meaning in suffering? What is the purpose of my life? Does anybody understand me? And his response to you and me is going to be the same. Come. Come. And you will see. You will see me. Not just where I stay, because the Father and I are one. And I stay in his love. The vine and the branches remain in me, and I will remain in you. Remain in my love. Stay. Abide in me. Come, and you will see. You will encounter me. St. John Paul II said it best. He says, Jesus Christ reveals man to himself. Jesus Christ reveals woman to herself. Jesus Christ reveals boy, girl to themselves. We come to know who we are through this encounter with Christ. But he asked the question, what are you looking for? Come and you will see. We've all come. You don't have to be here. It's not obligation, it's opportunity. You don't even have to be watching online. It's not obligation. Nobody's checking off, okay, oh, we got 1,400 viewers this week again. There we go. We feel good about it. That means about 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 people, because we're talking families getting together. But you've come to see. Do I see? Have I stirred up the desire in my heart to see, to encounter this God who loves me in Mass, to see him speak to me in his living word? Not just Samuel when he was young. If I'm a young boy or a young girl, a young teenager, he wants to speak to me. He wants to meet me on my lacrosse field. He wants to meet me on my tennis court. He wants to meet me in my school and my work. He wants me to see him, and we come to encounter him in his word. But do we see him speaking to us in the today of our life? Or do we walk out after Mass and not even remember what he spoke to us in his word? I got to hold myself to the same standard. Ask yourself tomorrow morning what the readings were. And maybe we just don't see. Or like the folks on the riverbank, he just walks right on by. There goes Jesus. Check the block, another week at Mass. Come and you will see. We will see him in a moment. Fractured, broken, held up, lifted up high. When I am lifted up, I will draw all people to myself. He's lifted up throughout the world in multiple languages. In the Eucharist, truly present. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb. We are blessed. And it's that blessing that he wants to pour out on the world. taken, blessed, broken, and given in the Eucharist? Do I see Jesus veiled in the sacrament? Because for John and Andrew and Peter, who he encountered, his divinity was concealed in his humanity. Come and see. I'm not going to transfigure myself right now before you. You are not ready for that. I'm not going to walk on the water right now for you because you're not ready for that. I'm not going to raise a person from the dead yet because you're not ready for that. But when I'm transfigured, I'm going to set my eyes on Jerusalem and I'm going to go and I'm going to be lifted up because I'm hoping that you'll be ready for that. Come and see me lifted up out of love for all humanity, for the salvation of the world, to answer every single question that is deep in the recesses of the hearts of men, women, boys, and girls, independent whether they're in the pew or even watching a mass online. You see, because the question of even John and Andrew was kind of a superficial question. Where do you stay? They had deeper questions. And they must have asked more. Because it says it was 4 o'clock when they met and they spent time with them. They must have asked more. What did they speak about? I can't wait to get to heaven to ask them what that conversation was like. Because when they went to Peter and Andrew went to introduce him, he said, "We found the Messiah." Do I leave Mass after encountering our Lord and go out into the streets of Charlotte and said, "I found the Messiah. I found the answer to your questions. I got it." And if nobody wants to listen to us, probably just in good company, because not everybody wanted to listen to Jesus or to the apostles. And the apostles didn't even completely listen to him, but how can it be at the beginning they come to Peter and said, "We found the Messiah"? What other questions were they able to ask him in that time? What we do know, and we know the end of the story, we're blessed. They didn't. We do. What we do know is that it was an invitation. It was a response, and it resulted in a change. It's not just a coincidence that Peter's name was changed. Simon, son of John, your name shall be Cephas Rock. The name change signifying the transformation of his life. Of his life in the transformation Jesus wants in our life. What needs to change in the church? What needs to change in our country? What needs to change in our world? St. Teresa of Calcutta was asked that question once. What needs to change in the church? She looked at the person and she said, "You and me." What am I looking for?